Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 450 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden. This week I'm joined by theater critic Evans Donnell, and we're going to talk a little Nashville arts critic and a little Nashville history and God knows what else we covered. It's a long, wonderful, beautiful conversation, so we're going to get into that conversation just after, you guessed it, these brief messages. Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Well, why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet.
Yet I ask you to take time to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play,
don't
in, the
all
gutter,
play
course,
in the gutter, of course. Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
So, IDSers, I'm here with Nashville art critic Evans Donnell and the reboot of the Evans Machine with the www.nashvilleartcritic. Is it .com? It's .com, right?
Right. .com. Even that night, I own one of the other
entities,
forms of that domain, which point to it. But yeah, I figured .com is the easiest for everybody. Of course, .org is really for a non-profit. Now, for instance, with Arts Nash, even though we tried to get people to go to artsnash.com, we had .org. And of course, we're in a sense entitled to that because we were incorporated as a nonprofit.
Yeah,
and eventually tax exempt even. Though those are two different things. I know people often think that's the same thing, and it's not.
Right. And so, is it just as a sidebar? Is it easier to be a nonprofit or get the tax exempt?
Well, it's much easier on the nonprofit because, particularly in a state like Tennessee, where you can just file a one-page form and incorporate as a nonprofit. You don't even need an attorney. I wouldn't generally advise people to do it that way. But in Tennessee, it's just $100 and a one-page sheet, and you've got a corporation, whether you're talking for-profit, nonprofit, limited partnership, whatever. But tax exemption, of course, is when the Internal Revenue Service rules under, in our case, under Rule 501c3, that we are a public charity and that, among other things, contributions to us are tax deductible. Well, that took, because of backlog, really, that took us the better part of 2 years before we got that magic letter in the mail saying Arts Nash was exempt. But like I say, that did take an attorney, and I should point out that was the lawyers for the arts under the Arts and Business Council here, the ABC, and they did that work pro bono, and they are wonderful. Casey Sumar and other folks who've been involved with them are just terrific. We also had a situation, I hope you don't mind my going a little further with this, but we had a situation where a local theater group had used part of a copyrighted image in producing a logo for one of their shows. And I used that on Arts Nash, and I gave credit at the bottom of my post like I always do. And Getty Images sends me this huge letter, or sends Arts Nash this huge letter, saying, well, part of this image belongs to us, and you owe us $500.
Wow.
Now, I thought that was really sort of extortion in a sense, because, you know, they could probably tell we were this little arts journalism site. I had noted on the post where it came from, you know, and I think that, you know, frankly, they could have just contacted us and said, you know, please take that down, we have an issue. And we would have, you know, we would have done that. Instead, it was, you know, a big demand for money and all this. Well, ABC got a lawyer for us for free, and the lawyer did what good lawyers do. He started writing letters to them going, okay, you know, basically in lawyer terms, he was basically saying, hey, you're being a bully. This is ridiculous. You know,
right.
if you want to fight this, we'll fight this. Well, they went away because, of course, you know, we had dared to stand up for ourselves and not be cowed. The letter they sent me, by the way, was 36 pages.
Wow.
With all this arcane legal language. It obviously meant to intimidate me.
Sure.
You know, and intimidate Arts Nash. And so, I do want to send a big plug for the Arts and Business Council. And of course, they're around the United States, but I'm referring obviously to the Nashville one. And the lawyers for the arts, these people really do put their time and effort where their mouth is when it comes to saying, I love the arts. You know, there are plenty of people who pay lip service, but I found both when I ran my own nonprofit theater, which was also tax exempt, and when I which was called Athens South Theater back in the 90s, and with the Arts Nash experience, that there are plenty of people who say they want you there and that they believe in you, but when you even ask them for $5, you might as well be asking them to go for a root canal.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yes, and I'm not bitter about it, at least not in my better moments. but the thing is, you know, these are people that really did mean what they say. They really do care, you know. And it's just great to have people like that in this community.
Well, outstanding. So bring us up to speed now. Where are we with Nashville Arts Critic?
Right. Now, if you don't mind my going back just a bit to the end of last year, because that was all started. John Pitcher and I, and for folks listening, John and I were the co-founders, along with my wife and his wife, of Arts Nash. And that was in May of 2012. That was when our time with the Art Now Nashville project was coming to an end, which had been a for-profit situation. And we had originally wanted nonprofits, so you know, we went back to that idea. Well, fast forward 2.5 years, and we had basically come to the point we'd sold some ads, we'd gotten some donations from some really sweet people here and there. We'd gotten the kind of help I just mentioned from the ABC. But we figured, you know, here we've had the exemption, which is retroactive to the start of our corporation, but people have known about it now for a year. We've been filing these grant applications. If we're not going to get anything at all, we're going to sort of take that as a sign that we're not going to be able to pay other writers. Obviously, we've never paid ourselves. We had to do other things. So we got to the end of last year, and indeed, we got some rejection letters that basically said, oh, we love you, you're great, but sorry, absolutely nothing. Right. And one of them, in fact, was from a foundation. It was even giving, you know, $50 to hundreds of groups and wouldn't even give us $1. So we thought, well, that's sort of maybe our sign from above that this needs to be put on hiatus. We purposely said hiatus because it's still administratively active, the site is still up, and we still, I think, somewhere harbor the hope that one day someone will come along and say, let's fund this properly. So we didn't dissolve it where we'd have to start all over again. Now, of course, John is back doing even more with the Nashville scene, including the Country Life blog, which is so wonderful. And I just was sort of floundering. You know, I love doing this. The two things, theater, I do, if you don't mind a personal belief moment here.
Sure.
I still believe in God. I still basically buy the idea of Jesus Christ, but I don't really buy the idea of walking into churches anymore. I've had some bad experiences in some of those places, and I've seen people who I think are there for all the wrong reasons.
Uh-huh.
My church has become a theater space. That's where I think I see God. When I see what I think is the divine spark in all of us, in the performances of actors and musicians, in the way a director has organized it, all of that to me ultimately is quite a spiritual thing. So that's where I've chosen to go. It's just like for those listening, I went last night to Nashville Shakespeare's Henry V. And for me, that's the Centennial Bandshell was my church.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worshiping there. Now, I don't in any way want to sound sacrilegious or blasphemous to some, but if I do, then I apologize. But I think that that's where I see the divine.
Okay.
That's where I experienced that in my life. And so added to the fact that I've been a writer, my first professional journalism job came with the Lebanon Democrat in 1985, and then was the Banner, National Banner, the next year. I'd been a student journalist and editor first at my high school and then in college. So I've had, 30 years off and on as a news writer, first Cops and Courts, then politics, then sports, and then entertainment desk. And so you combine those two things, performing arts, particularly theater, and writing. And the only things I love more are my wife and daughter.
Yeah.
So for 5 months, and I hope this hasn't been too long-winded, but for 5 months, I just really was a fish out of water. And I was at the fundraiser for Act Like a Girl. I bet you've had Valley on before, Valley Forest on before, and you know well about that wonderful program for young women. And I'm just going to name names, but dish the dirt here on the show. No, it's not dirt, really. Kim Britton is a wonderful person, wonderful actor, and a friend of mine was in that. And she came up to me afterwards. She said, you ought to write an article about Act Like a Girl, which, by the way, I had written a big feature for the Tennessean several years ago. But you ought to write about this, about what they're doing now, and the expansion to Virginia, South America. And then we both realized, well, yeah, but what platform?
Right.
What affiliation do I have at the moment? And that really got me thinking. I thought, well, wait a minute. Print journalism that I love has basically gone the way of the dodo.
Right.
And, and I'm very sad about that. And I won't bore the audience any more than I have to with how sad I think that is and how much I think they're losing out ultimately. But the beautiful thing is we got this internet thing and you can start your own frickin' site.
Yep.
As you know. Yeah. So, it's sort of democratic in that way, as long as we keep net neutrality, and I won't bore everybody with my political feelings about that. I hope the FCC stops some of these corporations from shutting down some of the things we like to access or to do.
Right.
But the thing is, I thought, well, okay, stop being part of your own problem, make your own solution here. And I have been designing sites, often using WordPress as my backbone for a while. This was not WordPress, but when I was Howard Gentry's media director and scheduler in the 2007 National Mayoral Race, I redesigned the website along with a guy who knew all the technical code writing stuff, but I told him, what I wanted, how I wanted it to look, and more to the point, how I wanted it to function. And then I was one of the co-chairs of the website subcommittee of the Screen Actors Guild's Communications Committee when we redesigned the Screen Actors Guild website in 2008. Of course, about four years before the merger with AFTRA.
Uh-huh.
And some of the components are in the current merge site, by the way, that we did. And I, of course, had done the Arts Nash site. I basically went without sleep for about 4 days. I know that sounds crazy, but that's what I did. And built that using the WordPress backbone. And so I thought, well, let's just do the same thing. Obviously, want a different design. And I already had National Arts Critic, among other domains that I happened to own. Thank you, GoDaddy, for all those cheap domain prices. So I thought, well, you know, I had other things too. Like, I even have, by the way, thestagecritic.com. I have some ones that, you know, I could use that would have a more, say, national or international flavor to them.
Uh-huh.
But I thought, well, you know, number one, it's probably, of course, I also have stagecritic.com, which I still use. That's where I used to do reviews when the Tennessean wouldn't let me do it for them.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, well, but let's, you know, let's not let our ego ride too far here. And let's try to describe really who and what we are and what we're trying to do. And so Nashville Arts Critic, because indeed, you know, I write about film that comes into town. I also write about opera, since I have since the time I was with the Tennessean, particularly Nashville Opera, of course. And, you know, there may be some other things. Of course, I've been doing, you know, like yesterday I had a theater book review on this wonderful Eric Grode book of Broadway. He picked 150 shows that he feels are sort of the definitive plays and musicals in Broadway's history. And the book is wonderfully illustrated with all kinds of photos. Like I said in the review, I had a correspondence for a while with the late, great Paul Scofield. And those letters I treasure very much and will keep till the end of my days at the very least.
Right.
But in one of them, he talked to me about the set for the New York production of A Man for All Seasons. Of course, he'd already had a smash in London. And then in late 1961 at ANTA, he opened, and Leo McKern played the common man, and Albert Decker was Henry VIII, and, you know, really good cast. George Rowe, the late, great George Rose, was in that cast, too. And so I knew about the description of the set, but I opened this book, and one of the plays he's got listed is Man for All Seasons. And the plays are not ranked 1 through 150, it's just alphabetical.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the page with Man for All Seasons, and there's not one but two color pictures which clearly serve a set.
Oh, wow.
And so I was finally getting to see this 1961 set, you know, 5 years before I was born, in color. And I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. the funny thing is that Eric, who has been, well, he freelances for the New York Times, but he's also been, he was the New York Sun's chief critic. He's Broadway.com's chief critic. Syracuse Newhouse, he handles their arts journalism program. Is that, by the way.
Uh-huh.
So there's a college connection to him, too. But he told me yesterday that he didn't actually have anything to do with selecting the pictures, but he is certainly blessed by them. His text is wonderful, a good mix of things like historical overview for some of the older, particularly the Victorian era shows that he picks, and then some personal things. My favorite thing is that in the Cats capsule, he talks about going for the last time to the theater with his grandfather, who was an actor. And I rather liked that. I guess it's a wonderful thing that you can argue and discuss what shows you think are important. I think that probably Cats is important in terms of its popularity and the audience emotional response over the years to it.
Just now, the phenomenon. You know,
it's the phenomenon. I mean, I nothing against T.S. Eliot, obviously, but at the same time, you know, I wouldn't go, okay, that show was so deep and the, you know, it redefined the musical for all time or anything either. You know, it just, it's an entertainment. And indeed, when I saw Elaine Page as Isabella, and this is no shine off Betty Buckley, obviously, but I saw Elaine do it in London. And her version of Memory is something I'll never forget, you know, till at least till my brain goes, or what's left of it. but that was pretty phenomenal. But I loved that he would do that, because, you know, as a critic, you want to speak with some authority, hopefully based on experience, knowledge, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And you want to be clear. And you don't want to mince words, but most importantly, your love for the discipline you're critiquing should come through, because the main requirement of being a critic in any discipline is that you love the subject you're writing about or talking about, and you want to relate the experience in such a way that the viewer, listener, or reader feels as if you're their friend. And you're walking out of a theater or a gallery or a concert and just talking about this experience, you know, and he's telling you, your friend's telling you, well, I thought this or I thought that. And it should have that voice, that feeling that can make that connection. Otherwise, you're essentially failing your job as a reviewer.
Yeah.
And I think the one thing, too, about Eric is that, and you see this in that book, is that he varies his approach. You're not essentially getting the same thing over and over again.
Right.
You know, there are times, and this is a trap I've fallen into and other critics easily fall into, you'll get into writing book reports.
Yeah, right.
And you'll keep playing the same note. You'll become the critical equivalent of plain song,
uh-huh.
You know, forever on the same note. And obviously that's boring as hell, but it's also just the fact that, you know, you're not really giving a fully colored experience.
Right. Right.
Know? And that's your charge. And I think that, you know, this is why National Arts Critic had to happen for me. I realize I'm writing to others, and that if it's, you know, just some egocentric enterprise, it will deserve to fail. But first, I've got to care about it. You know, I always like when I hear someone who say is creating a new show, and they say, "Well, I want a show that I'd go to. I want a show that I like or that I'm interested."
Right.
Because obviously, if you're not that way, who else is going to be that way?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So it's not all about your ego, nor should it. But it has to sort of start with, you know, what do I like and what do I want to do and what matters to me? And so this combination of the arts and writing, you know, every day I write something. Even though most of it's drivel and not for publication, I will often write a poem every day, as a matter of fact. And then I'd delete most of them off my computer back before we all had computers. I used to write them on yellow legal pads and throw them away.
Oh,
because,
wow.
Like I said, most of them are utter garbage. And even some of my best, I mean, there are many days when I feel no better than Rod McKeown. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been. That's probably me. Rod did his best, and he did translate Jacques Brel. I do thank him for that. I liked the Belgian troubadour.
Hmm.
But so he may not be alive and well anymore. If you remember the show, Jacques Brel is alive and well.
All right.
But, you know, I really, I think it's a privilege to live in this age when we can all be publishers. You know, I realize that sometimes what we publish is probably not really for anyone else.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the one downside, I admit it, is not having an editor. I think everyone needs one. I know I need one, you know, whether it's my talking or my writing. But nevertheless, it is me. Well, you know, I mean, there's a truth to it, even when I stumble and fumble, as I so often do. And I think that the thing about Nashville, too, is I really feel that I'm a Nashville native. I haven't always lived here, but I was born at Vanderbilt Hospital here 49 years ago next Friday. And I really think that when I was a kid in the 70s and we had the Advent Theater, when about a decade or so later, other stage productions transformed into Tennessee Rep. And really now, I'm seeing a bit of a renaissance going on, I think, in the Nashville arts world and in theater. We've got a great infusion, as you know, of new talents, both on and off the stage, to add to a cadre of veterans. For instance, last night, getting to see David Compton. David and I first met when I made my Equity debut at Tennessee Rep in 1989 in a production of Romeo and Juliet. I played some of the smaller speaking parts. He was Benvolio. Mark Cavis was Tybalt. Denise Hicks was Juliet. Michael Bird was Paris. There were several people who are still around with us. Of course, Mark obviously not in Nashville anymore, but still very much around. That we're working on that, and they're still here. And I think that that's a great mix, and I think it's producing some great things. And so to be able to pass that word on, to advocate for that, because I am an advocacy journalist at heart. You know, I came up as a youngster. The reason I got into journalism, or the two reasons, really. One was Woodward and Bernstein shining the light on the darkness of Watergate, which blew me away as a youngster. And the other was hearing John Siegenthaler speak.
Wow.
And this story is a self-congratulatory one that I'm about to tell, so forgive me. But I didn't take it that way at the time, and I don't really mean it that way now, though it'll probably be taken this way. But a few months before Mr. Siegenthaler's death, I was over at Brickhouse Restaurant with someone. He came in and sat down. And normally I'm not a complete pest, but I decided to get up and go speak to him. Uh-huh. I don't know what compelled me exactly, but I suddenly found myself moving as fast as a man my size can move over to his table. And I said, it's been a long time, sir, and I don't know if you remember me. I'm Evan Zonnell, and I was once theater critic. And I said, oh, yes, I remember you, and I still follow you. And we talked a bit, and I said, you know, I told him about how seeing him speak at age 10 moved me greatly and influenced me toward a career in journalism. And I said, I hope you don't mind my using this word, and you'll probably blanch at it as inappropriate. But when I think of what you've done, not only in journalism, but outside it, when I think of things like your time with the Justice Department, and when you were attacked when the Freedom Riders were in Alabama, when I think of all of that, you're really one of my heroes. Without missing a beat, he said, well, you're one of mine.
Wow.
And I walked back to the table. I was about ready to cry.
Right.
I was so greatly moved by his generosity. Because I didn't deserve what he said, but I damn sure wanted to take it, if you pardon the profanity.
Yeah, sure.
I was like, he was like, you know, manna from heaven.
Right.
Particularly at a time when I was starting to feel the stresses of Arts Nash and the fact that I haven't made much of a living in recent years with a family, a mortgage, and everything else, and sure. So many others. It was starting to wear on me, and I tell you, I needed that kindness, great bolt of kindness from Mr. Siegenthaler, as much as I've probably needed any encouragement in my life. And so, you know, I just was so generous of him. I mean, he's a generous soul anyway.
Right.
It was just so generous of him to say that to this poor schmuck theater critic who came up and interrupted his lunch.
Right.
But I really, gosh, I miss him. When I was so happy that he was still alive when they renamed the bridge in his honor.
Yeah.
And that was a beautiful afternoon. And Rick Malkin, speaking of generous souls, for those of you who don't know Rick, wonderful drummer to begin with, often played with the dearly departed Boiler Room Theater.
Mm-hmm.
But, and by the way, if you noticed, you know, they had that press release out yesterday calling it the Little Theater and, you know, the formerly Boiler Room space. So I guess that sort of tells us sadly what we need to know.
Yeah.
But the, I hope they find a way back, because I think it's a real loss. And we could do an entire show on that. But the thing is, I was so happy that Rick was there to capture all the images of that, and we put that up on Arts Nash. Rick, by the way, is also working with me on this new site. Of course, the recent appearance of Shirley MacLaine, we collaborated. Today, when I publish my review of Henry V, it'll once again be a double byline, because I've got a zillion great Rick Malkin production pictures. He's been going there the last few nights. Excuse me, folks. He's been going there the last few nights and taking some great shots as usual. You know, he captures truth in an instant in a way that few photographers I've known can. I think when Jerry Lewis was opening The Nutty Professor, and he was so funny, because, and this is not to dish, there's some great photographers at the Tennessee and elsewhere, but we were down in the rehearsal hall at TPAC, and most of the photographers were sitting to either side of Jerry. They were on the floor, and they're snapping rehearsals and things. And some of them got, you know, pretty good shots when Jerry got up to direct to see Leith, Norris McGowan, and Andrew and everything. Well, there came a point where Rick moved to the side, and the other photographers all stayed seated beautifully around Jerry. Well, Rick got a shot, and it's on Arts Nash, of a great, what I'd say is a great moment in flight. The choreographer was up on her toes, and so was, I think it was Clea Blackhurst, who was playing the secretary. And they were both at this really great moment. He snapped both of the balls of their feet, moving, of course, Clea singing. And the joy on, it was a Joe Hunter, I'm sure I remember the name of the choreographer, but the joy on her face was incredible.
Uh-huh.
And he's the only one who got, he's the only one who got that instant. Because, in fact, you could even see some of the other photographers seated in the background in the shot.
Huh.
But he was the only one who thought to move,
right,
while he was snapping and not remain stationary. And I thought, well, you see, that's the difference. That's why I believe in not only in his ability to snap a picture, but really in his artistry as a photographer.
Right.
Because, you know, he senses when it's time to change the point of view, among other things. And so, and he got it. He started shooting the Shakespeare Festival when he went to one of their Shakespeare Day things down near the riverfront.
Uh-huh.
He was taking a lot of great pictures, and we did a pictorial essay in Arts Nash. And now he's been taking their production shots. And the thing is, you know, his photos always mean more hits on the site.
Uh-huh.
When I look at my numbers for a review and see how many, you know, unique hits, it is always infinitely higher with Rick's pictures. So, you know, that also keeps me humble, because I know it's not about my words. it's about the fact that there are all these great Rick Malkin photographs. That's what people are really coming to see, you know. It keeps them from smoothing off while they're reading my review, you know, or to plod through the large morass of words and verbiage that I managed to spew out onto the computer page.
Oh, wow. Large morass of verbiage. Nice.
Yeah.
To turn a phrase, so, as they say.
I'm telling you, you know, I've been banging words together for a while. Sometimes they explode. But I bang them together nevertheless.
So how can we, sorry to interrupt, but what we, can we, give me the address, the web address again, and
sure. NashvilleArtsCritic.com, and that is, you know, ARTS in the middle, but NashvilleArtsCritic.com. And like I say, you know, if they hit, like, if some of it is like NashvilleArtsCritic.us, even if it's, but .com is what we really want them to go to, and that's its final resting place on the server.
Okay.
But you know, I really have had a blast sort of resuscitating my situation. I think too now, I also don't mind saying, I think it's one of the things too, is that I get the privilege of going to all these things and enjoying them. I plan to return with you, compadre, to the next year's Humana. I really miss going this time up to Louisville, which of course is my pilgrimage to Mecca.
Yeah, mine too.
And it's just, you know, so I'm already thinking about next March. You know? And even though the thing is to talk briefly about Actors Theater of Louisville, Actors Theater of Louisville, I think they've got a pretty good season coming up too, so I may do what I did with Arts Nash and go up for a few shows. Usually what I do is just, you know, just drive up there, see the show, and drive back.
Yeah.
I mean, two and a half hours isn't that bad.
Right.
So I really enjoy doing that sometimes. So, you know, the sky's the limit, though. Indeed, obviously, the primary focus will be what's going on here in Davidson County and the immediate surrounding greater metropolitan area.
Well, outstanding. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, and thank you for knowing when to put the brakes on. otherwise, this would have been the longest podcast in your career. So, because I love it. I love talking anyway, but I love talking about these subjects, and really appreciate being on your show.
When guests can't appear in studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the Download Skype button. Go ahead. Join in the fun.
All right, so that's it. I'd like to thank Evans Donald for stopping by today to chat about Nashville Arts Critic. And if you want to be clued in to what's going on in the Nashville arts community, one of the ways of doing that, among others, is to listen and read what Evans has to say. So check out Nashville Arts Critic. You won't regret it. So, hey, if you want to be part of the Dumb Show, please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282. Or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or follow the show on Twitter, @inexplicableDS, @I, inexplicable, D, S. Find out the latest comings and goings from whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So next week, who knows what we'll be up to, but we'll be up to something good in the next coming weeks. I'm going to try to talk to someone from Street Theater Company about their production of Heathers. I want to talk to somebody from Nashville Shakespeare Festival about their production of Henry V. And, of course, we have the conclusion of the IDS Summer Rep. So all that's coming down the pike in the next couple weeks. I don't know which order it's going to happen in, so we'll see what we see when we get there next week, okay? So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. perfect quality WAV files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No East. That's Blueberry, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. .com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.